Welcome to The Thriving Christian Artist, the podcast where we hope you connect with God to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live as an artist in His kingdom. I'm Matt Tama, your host. Let's get started. Well, hey there, my friend. I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. Listen, I've got a great interview today with my friend Rebecca Friedlander. She is really, you know, what I would call a Renaissance woman. She is a potter. She is an artist. She is an author, a filmmaker, a musician. I'm like, Rebecca, what do you not do, girl? She is an incredible person. Most of all, she loves Jesus. She loves the kingdom. She believes so strongly in getting the message of the kingdom and transformation out through creativity, through all the means that God's given her. And she is really living a life that's truly thriving. And so she's exactly the kind of interview I love to bring you right here on The Thriving Christian Artist all the time, because it's really an inspiration. It shows all of us that you can absolutely live the life that God's created you to live as a creative. It's not just a pipe dream. It's absolutely available to every one of us who will choose to be faithful with what God's given us right now, and then over time, continue to be fruitful and multiply and multiply and multiply as God gives us grace. So you're going to love this interview. I know it's going to be a big, big encouragement to you. You know, the other thing that I love to do is give a shout out to my listeners who are subscribing and reviewing the podcast. All of you who've subscribed to The Thriving Christian Artist, thank you so much. It is growing every week, and artists all over the world on just about every continent. I don't know if anybody's listening in Antarctica, but everywhere else they're listening, which is pretty cool. And today's review is from Skittles the Dragon Slayer. I had to choose this one because I'm like, that's probably the most interesting name of somebody that's ever reviewed the podcast I've ever seen. But Skittles the Dragon Slayer says this: love this podcast. I love listening to this podcast. I always walk away feeling encouraged and inspired in my own journey as an artist. Matt makes things so easy to follow. And then all the interviews and stories keep things interesting, but also challenge and sharpen me in a lot of ways. Well, Skittles, we love you. And I don't know where you are in the world, but I'm really, really glad that you're listening. And thank you for taking the time to subscribe to the podcast and also leave that really kind review. It means a lot to me and a lot to my team as we continue to raise up the army of artists that God's called us to raise up all over the world. All right. Well, listen, to all of you, if you're listening, if you've not hit the subscribe button, please do that. Also, if you've not taken time to review the podcast, all you got to do is just scroll down to the bottom of your Apple Podcast app, hit write a review, and you can leave a 5-star review there and just a little message. And who knows, maybe your review will be one that I'll feature here on the podcast coming up real soon. All right. Well, guys, I'm going to get out of the way. Rebecca Friedlander, you're going to love, love, love this interview. It's such an encouragement. And if you love Celtic history, if you love film, if you love just creativity in general and seeing somebody living their most incredible life in the kingdom, you're going to love this interview. Here's my friend, Rebecca Friedlander. Well, hey there, everybody. I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. I've got my friend Rebecca Friedlander here all the way from California. Rebecca, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I found out about you on Facebook through my friend Lynette Penny Gainham when you were over there doing some incredible things. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to find out more about this person, because we knew a lot of the same people. And it was like, why don't we know each other? This is great. So for those folks who don't know you yet, let them know kind of who you are, what you do creatively, and that sort of thing. We'll get into your backstory after that.
Sure. I use a multitude of different creative means to share my passion for Jesus and to help equip other artists. So I'm a storyteller. I'm a potter. So I talk about how God restores and brings new life through the potter and the clay. I've been speaking with my wheel for about going on 18 years. All around the world. And then I also do film production. So my films have been on every major Christian TV network around the world that's English speaking, and some of them that are not English speaking. And then I have a passion for things like photography anything that uses beauty and storytelling to communicate things of about Jesus and principles of the kingdom of God.
I love that because I always say, you know, Jesus didn't come with just a rule book, right? I mean, he came with the gospel wrapped in story, the kingdom wrapped in story. And so you're doing such a beautiful job of telling that story. You know, everybody's got a backstory. Everybody's got a story. And as I was reading yours and learning a little bit more about you and that sort of thing, I realized that your story is not all roses, like a lot of people's, you know, think, oh, they see you now. And they see all the things you're doing. But hasn't always been like that. You had some early trauma in your life, some difficulty that really kind of helped shape who you are and what God's doing in your life. So talk us, you know, did you grow up as an artist and, you know, how did you evolve into who you are now?
That's a great question. Because, you know, I'm doing a lot today, but I didn't start off, you know, having something break, or no one ever handed me $1 million and said, hey, go pursue your dream. You know, I just published a book with Baker House, but I've written 9 self-published books before that. So kind of getting to, you know, our lives are all a journey. I was raised in a Christian home. So I had a lot of the scriptures and the word inside of me growing up as a kid. I was pretty sheltered, homeschooled. And really, I would consider myself more crafty rather than like artsy.
Yeah,
like
sure.
I love doing like craft projects and things like that. But an artist was like some other, you know, world away. And but when I was 9 years old, my whole family was in a car accident on Christmas Day. I was in the back seat with my dad and my youngest brother. And the car stopped spinning and landed in a ditch. The family members in the front seat turned around to see if we were okay, and there was nobody there. We were all thrown from the car. And so I came out with a lot of fractured bones and plastic surgery and some different things going on, but my dad sustained brain injury. And so that started a whole different path for my family, and just a real journey of exploring who God is really for me, you know, and having to ask some of those tough questions. But I think Jesus met me in some pretty serious ways, even as, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old, that just really captured my heart. And I just decided to pursue him.
Yeah.
So that's that started for me. And then later, it was really in my early 20s that I kind of hit rock bottom again, if you will. And I had moved with some of my family members to a place called Deadwood, Texas.
Sounds very inspiring, right?
Very.
Deadwood. Oh, yeah.
There's a hand-painted sign outside of Deadwood that says population 101 people, 100 happy people, and 1 old grouch. And they say they take turns playing the grouch. And so we had moved out there to start a ministry. And we got there and we really probably hadn't done our homework now, but I look back on it.
Right.
But when we got there, all of the doors shut. And we're sitting there in this house on the river, 3 miles down a dirt road, 3 miles from the closest neighbor. And I'm thinking, oh, all of my creative dreams about someday wanting to be a singer, you know, and do all these creative things, like, obviously, it's not going to happen, God. So I had this burning passion to do art and to do specifically music. And I just knew that's what I was called to do. And I was so frustrated for really years that I wasn't seeing any doors open, and I just felt like I was waiting on God and nothing was happening. And I was frustrated at the Lord a bit as well, because I was like, why would you put such a burning passion inside of me and then not give me a way to release it or explore it or affect anybody else in a positive way? And so I just put it all on the altar when I was in Deadwood, and I said, okay, God, I am not going to sing. I'm not going to touch a keyboard.
Right.
I'm just going to, like, I'm not even going to do that, because obviously you have another plan. So I'm just going to pursue you and just fast and pray and you show me what that is. And so I just set up my potter's wheel in this little shed. There was nothing spectacular about the place. It was a storage shed. And just began to play worship music and make pots and seek the Lord. And God began to speak to me about the potter and the clay and the process. And I started just journaling and writing it down. And that became my first book. That's really where it started. And eventually there was a little church around the corner, and the Methodist pastor came to me and said, "The Lord says it's time for you to start your ministry. You're going to start in my church. So come bring your potter's wheel and speak to our ladies."
Wow.
And that's kind of where it started.
So how many years ago was that?
It was almost 20 years.
Wow.
Almost
20 years. Isn't that something? So, yeah. It's amazing how I think we all go through those times in our life. I've got the same kind of thing of I'd done a lot in my life. And then, you know, you come to this place of broke, busted and disgusted. Oh God, who am I? What am I doing? Right. All that sort of thing. And yet it's in his presence, right? That's where our identity is so found. And I love that about your story and about the things that you're producing now, because I kind of shared this with you just briefly, you know, before we came on, but big picture, as I look at you, I see two real passions that are number one, identity. You know, mm-hmm. You're really passionate, it seems, about helping people know who they are and who God is in the middle of that and what they're called to do. That's a huge passion of mine as well, but also wrapped in the context of his presence, not just going out there to be doers for God, but that we're walking with him by his presence. Talk a little bit about that dynamic, because I think for all of us, I think well-intentioned creatives, and especially those of us that may have more of an entrepreneurial bent, it's really easy to get out there and get ahead of God and try to do things, quote unquote, you know, for God, as opposed to really soaking in his presence and walking with him to be an expression of his heart, rather than trying to fit him into our box.
Right. I think those are two things that have to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
One of them is, you know, I look back on my life and there were a whole lot of things that I could have been doing to pursue my creative dream rather than sitting around and waiting for God to show up.
Yeah.
And so I was basically clipping my own wings in a lot of ways. Because believing a lot of lies, like for one thing, I remember, you know, people around me, I remember when I was wanting to sing and, you know, do all this great stuff. They weren't really necessarily being cheerleaders for my dream. People around me were saying, "Oh, well, you know, don't do too much with your voice, you know, because that would be like in the flesh. And, you know, just make sure that you just sing simple and pure and straight." But in my heart, like, I just wanted to do all of this.
Yeah, sure.
And I remember when I came out of that Deadwood season, I had some really hardcore mentoring by an African-American couple. And one time they just sat me down and they said, "Rebecca, how is it glorifying God if you give him less than everything you have?"
Come on. Yeah.
It shocked me, because I realized my definition of humility was actually keeping God back from receiving glory. Like, he's not competitive. He's not interested in competing with his creation. He doesn't have to. He wants to get behind it. So I think, like, I just finished a book called Launch Your Vision, and the first third of it is dealing with some of the lies that we believe that actually keep us back. They're well-meaning lies, you know. We don't believe them because we were trying to stop us from fulfilling what God has called us to do.
Yeah.
But really, we're clipping our own wings. And so I think part of it is us getting past some things that we believe about ourselves that maybe we've imposed on ourselves, and it's really not God at all.
Yeah.
But then the other thing I think is really good, because I think we have to take our dream to the drawing board and just begin to sit with God and craft a vision in the secret place and just begin to be really vulnerable with the Lord and say, "God, is this something that's on your heart? Is this something that you're passionate about?" And be really honest with ourselves in that point. I have so many ideas in my brain. I'm a total visionary. And I know that when I get in a season of, like, I'm in between projects, there will be ideas that I have that I come up with, and I'll lay them before the Lord. And he's just like, "That's not the one for the season," you know? Or, you know, and I've learned that that's okay to let go of those things, because there's something really good that's coming that's going to be worthwhile. And so I think allowing the Lord to be, us being really honest with God and allowing him to be really honest with us, knowing that he believes in us and he really wants to express himself through us, is a very humbling place to be. But it's really crucial if we're going to really partner with him on some things.
Yeah, that's so good, because so much of the work we do in our mentoring program and conferences we do is around mindset and, you know, the way that God design transformation to happen in your life is through the renewing of your mind. And I think unless people do that, they, because of either religious baggage, emotional baggage, whatever, all the lies around what you can and can't do, or what's acceptable, or this sounds too fun, it can't be God, you know, or I like this too much, you know, surely God couldn't get glory out of that. All of that clouds the vision. And I so agree, when you get your identity right and you begin to walk in his presence, all of a sudden the visions that are on our heart are the visions that are on his heart. And while we're always trying to get the timing right? I mean, for all of us, we can trust that the things he's put in our heart are good, and they're for us to walk out. So that's so good. I'm interested, you know, for you, because I was in reading your website and just learned a little bit about you before the interview. You talk about being in ministry, and yet I would consider you a real entrepreneur. And I know I straddle that as well, because, you know, 10 years ago or so, 11 years ago now, the Lord called me as he said, "You're a father to artists. Go to the nations, raise up an army of artists." We've been doing that all over the world, which has been so exciting. But he said, "Your calling is ministry and marketplace, both full time." And I'm like, "Well, great, because nobody else is doing that that I see." You know, that's confusing. So I'm interested just on your take, because there's a lot of people out there that feel the thing that God's given them to do in creativity is ministry, but it's also the way that God brings provision into their life. I mean, that's one of the core things I believe, that God, you know, brings provision into our life by revelation in line with our assignment. So how does that work for you? And how do you consider yourself in ministry, in business, both, neither, what?
Right. Well, I've been doing full-time artistry and ministry full-time for 18 years. So I think the journey of getting there was because I had a passion. Once I came out of that Deadwood season, I'm like, "God, you've showed me too much. I'm not happy with just doing life as normal. And I will wrestle with you until you bring provision so I can do what you've called me to do, and so I can release what you've put inside of me."
Right.
So I went through times where I remember I stepped out and I got my first little apartment. It was a garage apartment. I loved it, but it was $400 a month. And I was like, "Oh my word, where am I going to get $400 a month?" And I remember the first month I was heartbroken because I didn't make enough from doing ministry stuff to pay my rent and pay my groceries and all of that. So it had some savings, of course, and I just went to the Lord and I was heartbroken. And I was like, "Lord," and I was so afraid. And I remember the Lord challenged me and he just spoke to my heart. He said, "Who is on the throne of your heart right now? Is it me or your emotions?"
Come on.
And I was like, "Oh, I guess it's my emotions." So I just, you know, repented. And what happened the next month, every single, probably 6 days out of the week, somebody invited me out to eat or invited me for a meal. I'd never seen such a crazy amount of provision. And I told nobody about this financial crisis. And what happened was that God totally, practically met all of my grocery bill for that next month. And I had provision to be able to meet my rent. And from then on, I was able to start making more. So I think part of it is this idea of, am I really going to wrestle with the Lord till he makes a way for me to release what he's put inside of me? And if we really have something that we've legitimately received from the Lord and we're excited about and we're passionate about, it becomes something that's bigger than just a way to make money. It becomes a ministry, because he won't let us do it if we're just about money anyway.
Right.
It has to be about people. But then at the same time, you have to become a really, really shrewd and learn some business sense so that you can steward your vision well.
Yeah.
And so I think it's partnership. It's all about stewardship. He says, "If I give you a little and you take care of it well, then I'll give you more." And so that's what I would say it's ministry, because there's no way I would invest this much into a business. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be really passionate to go after your dream. And if it's a ministry or if it's a calling, you're going to do things that you probably wouldn't normally do for a business. You know, you're going to take a lot more steps of faith. And you're also going to kind of judge your inventory a little bit differently. So if I'm doing a project that I really believe in, then I know it's going to impact lives. It's going to touch people in a kingdom mindset. And then I trust God to bring in the provision. It's not necessarily how you run a business, but it works from a kingdom mindset. And he always steps up and provides. And then there's other things that, you know, when you're working, like I have several films that now I have distribution for, if I'm working with television companies or, you know, production crews, I make my production level, I make my standard pretty high because I want it to be professional.
Yes.
And so it's this idea of, again, how can I do what I do and make it the best quality that I can. One thing I love to talk about too, I talk about in my new book, Launch Your Vision, is the idea between excellence and perfection. The word perfection in our English, like Webster's Dictionary, means to be entirely without flaw and defect, which none of us can attain to.
Right, measure up to.
Word, right? Like, or so not, we'll never be there. Like, but. And this ties back into identity. The word perfection means shalom. And it is often the Hebrew word shalom in the Old Testament, and they translate it perfect. And so it's shalom is the idea of completeness,
yes,
and wholeness and fullness. And so if I look at my project and I try to make every project shalom, complete and fullness and bring it to this wholeness, then I will be representing myself really well from a business standpoint, because I'll be doing the very best that I can do and to make it communicate well and make it marketable. But I'll also have this sense of, oh, this is everything that God has given me to do. Like, I feel really good about this. And I have this sense of the Holy Spirit saying, well done as well. Yeah. And so I don't know if that completely answers your question, but I think it is a merging of the both.
Yeah,
because
sure.
It kind of, if you're really giving it everything, it needs to be.
Right. You know, I always talk to artists about, you know, as you build a business, your business is really the vehicle that God gives you to get what you do out into the marketplace. Because otherwise, you got to go find provision in other places, you know, to make up that deficit. So you can go work at Starbucks and, you know, to make money in order to do your art thing on the side. Or you can learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to learn the things you need to do to be in the marketplace, to thrive there, to receive your provision there. And I just love this understanding that's coming into the body of Christ lately that is, you know, it's not either or. It's not, because there are a lot of people, I'm sure, you know, you may have run into it. I run into it a lot. Anytime you put God and business together, people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And I'm like, you know, God is the king of the marketplace just as much as he's the king of the church, and, you know, all that. They're not inextricably, you know, unlinked. They're really the same part of what God's called us to, that, you know, as we thrive in the marketplace, it gives us the opportunity, the authority, the finances, the all of that, the opportunity to be able to speak into people's lives and make provision to do what God's called us to do. And I think that old-timey kind of donation mindset and that sort of thing, which a lot of artists fall into, of, you know, just support me because I'm a creative, that's right, fallen by the wayside. And people are right, understanding, hey, God can bring provision into your life right now for the thing he's called you to, and for you to be able to walk in abundance. And I love what you said, because I teach on this all the time, you know, kingdom principle, faithful with little, ruler over much. That's Matthew 25, you know, be fruitful first and then multiply. And you know, you're doing a lot with vision right now with your new book. And don't you find a lot of people want the multiplication, but without the initial fruitfulness, right?
Right. Well, and I also feel like you made a great point. There's so much that I could build on out of what you just said. But I love also how God, when we're doing something with him, it totally changes the dynamics.
Yes, yes.
So for instance, I have no background in film. My films are all over the world now, but I have no background and no professional training in film.
Wow.
And the reason I picked up a video camera was because I was doing my little potter's wheel and thing in churches, my demonstration, and people were asking me for a DVD. So I prayed for 2 years that God would put it on the heart of somebody to come and film a DVD for me. Mm. And it didn't happen. And so I said, well, maybe I'm praying, I need to change the way that I'm praying. And so I said, God, if you want me to do a DVD, will you bring me a camera? I put this with my small group.
Yeah.
The next day, a woman walks into the studio where I was working at, and she says, God actually already told me to buy a camera for the studio and donate it. So let's go to the store right now and pick one out. And I was in shock. So I took a year working on that little DVD. Wow. And the little public access station decided to air it in my town. And then the Lord told me to do a TV show. And I cried for 2 weeks because I didn't want to do it, because I knew how much work it would be. But when I said yes, and I stepped out and I got a better camera and I invested in those tools and began to plug into that learning curve, sure enough, I started doing some episodes for a little public access station and then some regional networks. And then eventually TBN's youth channel said, you know, if you can do this, this, and this and take it to the next level, we'll air it. And I did about 70 episodes of that program.
Wow.
And it all started because I changed the way that I was praying and chose to say yes to God.
Come on.
When he gave tools. And so there's sometimes I think where God is challenging us to step out of the box and pursue in a little greater degree. And we as artists, how many times, and I've said this too, like, I just want to create art and I want somebody else to market it for me. I want somebody else to do all the stuff.
I just
want to
be in the studio, right?
That's right. But you know, some of those same people will say, well, I don't want to just do one thing.
Yeah.
I want to do lots of things. And I'm like, well, great. Use that skill set that you're excited about learning and start learning a multitude of things and then apply them to your vision and apply them to your craft.
Yeah.
One more story really quick. I was doing a film about the Celtic Christians in Ireland and Scotland. And I was shooting actually the follow-up film called Thin Places. And I was in Scotland at the time. And I thought, oh, I really want to shoot some scenes with people here in the Highlands rather than some reshoots back in the States. And I was thinking, man, I need a costume. And so I was looking in fabric stores and stuff for wool fabric, which is actually really hard to find in Scotland, believe it or not. I couldn't find anything. And so I was staying in this old mansion owned by a missions organization. And I opened up the wardrobe and inside was this gray woolen blanket. And I thought, man, that's just the fabric that I've been looking for. And so they all knew about my film and they're like, yeah, you can use the blanket. You know, you can even use our sewing machine. So I crafted this costume from a woolen blanket and we wore that thing all over the Highlands. it looks like the most epic, fun costume, but it wasn't because I had a big costume designer or whatever. Yeah. It was because I just prayed. And then God showed me what I needed in the craziest moment and just brought this provision. And so one of my favorite compliments is when people watch my films and they would say, like, I had so many compliments when people saw the trailer and they're like, oh, this isn't a low budget film. And I'm thinking, this is the lowest budget film you've probably ever seen. But I'm so glad that you said that, because that encourages me. When you partner with the Holy Spirit, you're really partnering with your creativity.
Yeah.
It actually can create a better product than if somebody just handed you a lot of money and you didn't really press in and have to be creative and listen to the Lord. So he provides all sorts of fun stuff when we're willing to step out there.
That's so good. You mentioned the whole Celtic connection and I wanted to kind of end with that, because Scotland's been a really kind of strategic place in my own journey. Ray Hughes has been one of my spiritual fathers for years. Back in 2000, I'm guessing 12, maybe, we did our first conference in Scotland in West Kilbride at the YWAM place there. And we did 3 gathering of artisans over there. And the Lord, when we were there, our team, we had a prophetic word that the Lord was opening the doors of the nations to us from there in Scotland. And it was amazing what began to happen. And now 10 years later, it's just been crazy. But there's such a depth of God's presence in that Celtic region. And you talk about it in terms of the thin places, but I know so much of in the kingdom that has gone forth from that region. God's used that region so strategically. We have so many listeners of the podcast that are from that region. But talk about, what do you think? I mean, how did you get connected with the Celtic region in Scotland and Ireland and all of that, and what do you think God's doing in the middle of that?
I love talking about that. I was shooting for a series called Radical Makeovers. I was in Jerusalem, Israel. I was shooting just with me and my cameras. I saw myself at that point. And I ended up kind of starting a prayer meeting and then getting kicked out of it because, oh gosh, I don't know if I should. I'll just tell you the whole story. So, because they were upset that I was a woman just praying, and I would just pray for whoever, including men. So some people got upset about that. And so I'm sitting in this little cafeteria feeling a little bit down, you know, and and there was this really cool interaction at this coffee shop with these two women who were from Ireland, Northern Ireland. And they just began to tell me about the early Celtic saints. And the thing that caught my attention was that they said, you know, they had women who were in leadership and even over mixed monasteries, that these women were these incredible, strong leaders, and kings went to them for counsel, and they were just these deep people and leaders. And I was like, really? And that just really encouraged my heart in that moment.
Right.
For the 2 years, one of those women sent me the notes on St. Patrick that she was teaching about in her church ministry school. And after 2 years, I was like, God, I think maybe there's something going on here that I need. Maybe I'm ready for another film project. What's going on? So I went to Ireland on a one-way ticket, and I spent 6 weeks in Ireland, Scotland, and England interviewing people and going deep into the history of the early Celtic saints. Now, this is 1,500 years ago. And what I found was that there was this passion, this deposit of passionate Christianity that was sown into Ireland, and it spread to Scotland and to Northern England. And what we see happening is that the people were so passionate about Jesus that they wanted the highest honors in Christianity. And in that era, a lot of people had just been martyred. It was right after the Roman Empire. And so martyrs were really held in high esteem. And so these passionate believers, they were just like, we don't have any martyrs like in Ireland. Like we're like really bummed about this because we have no one to honor. Like this is not okay. And so they came up with three types of martyrs so that they could have people, so they could still be part of the honor of being a martyr. And the first one was the red martyrs, those who gave their lives and shed their blood. The second were the white martyrs, who were the missionaries that sailed off into the white sky and gave their life to share in the gospel. Some of them went from Ireland all the way to Switzerland. They climbed the Swiss Alps by foot in order to share the gospel. And the third were the green martyrs. And those I really resonated with because they were the ones who would go up into a green hill and just by themselves, they would give their life to intimacy with God in prayer. And they would create what the Celts called a thin place, which was a place where the atmosphere between heaven and earth was thin and you could easily encounter the presence of God. And it kind of backfired because then all of these people and all these seekers, there was such a hunger for God in Ireland during that time. So they would be drawn to these hills, and they would ask the person on the top of the hill, tell us what you're getting from the Lord. And they would build a community at the bottom of the hill. So it was community done around the presence of God, around the thin place. And from those communities, we see the most amazing art come out. The Book of Kells was written in one of these communities. Today, it's still called the Work of Angels because the work is so magnificent. We have copying scriptures. You can even go to Bangor Abbey where they had 24/7 prayer and worship for over 300 years. And you can see, if you go to their little museum, you can see the etchings where they would practice creating their beautiful works of art to illustrate the Word of God. And so they became these communities of art and relationship and prayer, all done around the presence of God. And that's what kept Christianity around, and literacy during the Dark Ages were these pockets of these Irish and Celtic and Scottish believers who did community around the presence of God. It's so I got about that. I was like, let's do it today, Lord.
I know it. Well, you know, I think that the Lord is raising up an army of artists all over the world. And I talk a lot with artists about that, how our creativity becomes an intersection point, a table almost, where the Lord chooses to meet with, you know, the viewers, the people that interact with our work. And I know that that's why he's raising up this army of artists, is to, for all of us to be these purveyors of, if you will, these creators of these thin places, where whether it's in a gallery or in a movie theater or at a coffee shop or wherever it is, that the work of our heart becomes a place of encounter. And you just got such authority in this area, Rebecca. And I just want to know, as we end today, would you pray that the Lord would just raise this up in this army of artists, that all of us would come to a new understanding of what he's called us to in helping to facilitate these thin places through our creative expression?
I'd love to.
Awesome.
Yeah. Father God, yeah. Father God, I just thank you for every one of your children who's watching right now and whatever is stirring in their heart, God, bigger than them, that's beyond them, that they would know how to pay the price for it and also how to receive grace for it. Father, that they would be a teeming with your Holy Spirit, that you would release blueprints, spiritual strategies, Father God, and really that there would just be an extra measure of your love, Father, just released. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you blessed your son. You said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased, before he did a lick of ministry, before he raised the dead or did anything, that Lord Jesus, the blessing came upon your son. So Father God, I just pray that you would bless everyone that's listening, that they would know your love, they would know the depth of your Father's heart for them, and then from that place of intimacy, that you would download the strategy, download the blueprints, Father, so that we can create those thin places, Lord, and work in harmony with you. And I see you do amazing things. And I just thank you, Father, for your heart for your artists. And thank you for raising up, I just decree, Lord, you're just going to raise up a new army of warriors who are also priests. You know how to be in your presence and know how to fight with a multitude of weapons to see your glory come. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. What a joy to have you on today. It's been great to get to know you, hear your story. I know folks are going to want to connect with you further. So where's the best place that they can continue the journey with you?
Yeah, you can go to my website, RebeccaFriedlander.com. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram as well. So yeah, reach out. I'd love to hear what's going on.
Awesome. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It's been a joy. Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.